Roger did a nice job in his prayer laying out some of the feelings about what's going on in the world right now, the sense of heightened fear and strong political rhetoric that we're hearing from both sides of the issues, many strong feelings being expressed in the world right now about critical matters. There are politicians that are playing on these fears with some of the things that, some of the radical, outrageous things that they're saying. And those of you who pay attention to Facebook or follow the news will know that there are extreme positions taken on both the conservative and liberal side of a lot of these issues. The thing that stands out for me is that reasoned arguments seem to have very little place in this dialogue. There's a social psychology professor, Jonathan Haidt, who specializes in studying morality, and he has something to say about these issues in his book, The Righteous Mind. He gives us four main points that helps us to understand why we're so polarized right now in our world. His first point is that when in matters of moral or political issues, it's intuition that comes first and reasoning comes second. That gut feeling is what drives our opinions and feelings on some of these issues. And it's very hard to convince someone otherwise because reason is not part of what's going on for them when they have these strong feelings. In fact, often we use reason to justify our positions, even though the reasoning is not based on any facts or reasonable ideas. His second point is that liberals and conservatives have very different moral compasses. Liberals, in general, believe that people are inherently good and that diversity and variety are good and necessary. Liberals score high in a dimension that Haidt calls the care-harm aspect of morality, that liberals care a lot about others and care about when others are being harmed. Conservatives are focused on maintaining systems and preserving institutions that sustain a moral community. They score high on loyalty and sanctity. Sanctity means those things that are morally wrong, even if no one is harmed in the process, such as drug use, prostitution, or homosexuality. Both liberals and conservatives score high on fairness, but liberals see fairness as about leveling the playing field. For conservatives, fairness means I get to keep what's mine, that each of us is expected to pull our own weight in the world. His other point is that our moral compasses are genetically determined. Research on twins has shown that at least 50% of our morality comes from our genes. And finally, his fourth point is that humans are tribal in nature and that we will gravitate to those who share our morality, share our ideas, and then dig ourselves deeper by reinforcing each other's position and rejecting the outsiders. Now, I think this is very helpful to understand what's going on in our world, but none of it makes me feel any better. It's a struggle in this world to know how to engage. I'm not a black and white thinker, and I suspect you who are here at a Unitarian Universalist church are probably not either. And it's really hard to find out how to engage in this polarized world. I think one of my fears is that I don't want to be misunderstood, or I don't want my ideas to be misrepresented. Remember, after 9/11 and people were all flying flags on their houses, I wanted to have a flag too. I wanted to say that the killings were wrong and that we have a strong country and that I care about my country. But I didn't want anyone to think that my flag meant that I was a America, love it or leave it, go bomb the hell out of whoever we can find that I thought was behind some of the other flags. So I was going to have a little poster on my garage door that said, I think it was terrible and those people died, but we've done bad things in the Middle East and it's not as straightforward as you think, but I love my country. I think my other fear is that I don't want to start a fight if I raise issues, if I speak from my heart. I don't want to elicit ugly reactions from people. Of course, those of us who are in mixed families, by that I mean liberal and conservative, holiday time is a particularly challenging time because, at least in my family, some of the more outspoken members are some of the one with the most conservative positions. One of my relatives often posts very right-wing conservative Facebook posts. And the idea of commenting on that or responding to that causes me a lot of angst. So all this sense of wanting to speak out, confusion, fear, makes me think about the story of Jonah and the whale. Now, you're probably wondering about that. How many of you have heard about Jonah and the whale, the story of Jonah and the whale? Okay, oh, good. Very good. A good representation. It's part of the Hebrew Scriptures, written about 2,500 years ago. Now, there were lots of prophets in the Hebrew Scriptures, Isaiah, Hosea, Amos, to name a few. And for Jews, these prophets, their job was to call people back into their relationship with God, remind them that they had broken commandments. Jonah is a very unique prophet, however. He was one of the few that was asked to go outside the Hebrew community to proclaim to folks about their bad behavior. And his particular claim to fame as a prophet was that he resisted the call in a really big way. So Jonah was a very devout Jew, loved his community, focused on his community, perhaps a bit xenophobic, afraid of others and outsiders. And God calls him and tells him to go to Nineveh and to tell them that they will all be destroyed because of their evil ways. Now, Nineveh is a large city, and it's filled with very mean Assyrians, who were like the bullies of the Middle East in that time, known for being cruel. And here's little Jewish Jonah thinking, how am I supposed to go to Nineveh and tell them that they got to change their evil ways? So instead, Jonah gets on a ship going in the opposite direction. So God's not fazed, and he sends a major whopper of a storm. The sailors are incredibly afraid. They sense that it's not your usual storm, and they think about this guy they brought on board, and they go to look for him. He's asleep down in the hold. They bring him on up, and then they determine that this storm is because of him. So finally, Jonah tells them that what had happened, how he hadn't listened to God's call, and the only solution is to throw him overboard. So the sailors, wanting to save their own lives, throw him overboard, and then we all know what happens. Jonah gets swallowed by a big fish. He spends 3 days and three nights in this fish, praying and repenting, and then the fish spits him out. He's come to know his purpose, heads to Nineveh, walks down the streets calling out, 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown for your evil ways. And amazingly, everyone agrees. The king says that they're all going to wear sackcloth and ashes and fast to repent. And maybe, just maybe, God will be merciful. And God was merciful. He forgives them all. And Jonah is really pissed. He had the courage to make this trip. God put him through all of this. And then God punks out and doesn't destroy them. So he sits and pouts and waits, trying to wait to see what's going to happen, if it's really going to be destroyed or not. And God takes pity on him and has this bush grow up and give him shade. And then God sends a worm to kill the bush. And Jonah's really extra pissed off. And God says, "You want me to save a bush, but you're angry that I saved a city of thousands of people?" Now, what is it about this story that calls to mind when I think about the need to speak up in our world? Well, I can't blame Jonah for not wanting to go. It's really hard to speak out when you know that you're going to have negative reactions coming towards you. He's asked to go to a foreign land with a difficult message. A foreign land, for me, being conservative ideas that challenge me. When he's called out by the sailors, he just wants to end it all. But God won't let him. God sends that big fish. There were no whales for Hebrews living in the Middle East, but we've imagined it as a whale. So when you think about Jonah and that big fish inside there, what do you think about? What's it like in there? What do you imagine it's like inside that fish? Well, it's a perfect place to get in touch with your deep feelings, your visceral feelings, right? I mean, it's kind of a literal metaphor. He's in the gut of the fish, trying to understand this call that God has given him. Trapped in there with only his own thoughts and fears and coming to terms with his responsibility. Sometimes when I think about speaking up for what I believe to be right, I feel like Jonah. It's one thing to talk with you, an audience that I have a comfort level with, who know me, who share my values. It's another thing to speak up at family gatherings, on Facebook, or in public. So I turn to my companion in these challenges, Parker Palmer, the Quaker activist who always asked us to think of being more than we can be. One of his five habits of the heart is this idea of personal voice and agency. He says you need two things to have personal voice and agency. You need chutzpah. You need to know that you have a voice that needs to be heard. You, not the person next to you, not someone else out there, but you. You have to have the courage to speak up when you know that something is wrong. And he says you have to have humility, not holding on to a righteous position, but trying to see the possibility of humanity, of decency in the position of the other person, that someone with the opposite position from you could be a good person with good values. Now, I find the ending of the Jonah story to be quite interesting, that he was angry that God didn't kill everybody in Nineveh. God changed his mind. I love a God who changes his mind, just between you and me. God showed mercy. But that doesn't mean that Jonah's efforts were for nothing. Jonah had this idea of what was supposed to happen, was very attached to that outcome. We can't be attached to the outcome of when we speak out for what we believe to right. Charlotte taught us that. It's not about winning. It's about relationship. It's about working together. It's about saying what's on our heart. For those of us who have strong feelings that we're holding back in whatever forum, maybe it's time to get out of the belly of that fish. Time to end the silence. Find your personal voice. Find that agency, that chutzpah to speak out. We can't let the terrorists win. We can't become a country that repeats horrible mistakes of the Jewish Holocaust or the Japanese internment. We can't stay silent when critical institutions like Planned Parenthood are being vilified. We can't let the NRA control our country or sit back when Muslims are being persecuted. And we can't sit around and wait for someone else to speak up. So I've been stepping out of my comfort zone, staring at that Facebook post that I want to share, that I want to post to my wall, thinking, who am I going to piss off if I post this? Who am I going to alienate? What kind of negative feedback am I going to get? But it becomes less important than speaking from my heart about what I feel is important and necessary. So my cousin Bob, at the next holiday event, when he says, all Muslims are terrorists, I'm going to screw up my courage and say, I don't see it that way. You can't blame a whole group for the actions of a small number. There are people who've committed terrorist acts in the name of Christianity, both historically and currently. And we don't call all Christians terrorists. Then take a deep breath. Try to remain centered. Know that I'm speaking from my own heart. Don't take any bait that comes after that. and believe that maybe somebody else afraid to speak up has heard that. Someone in my family who has not had the courage to stand up to Cousin Bob. And I can hold the awareness that Cousin Bob is speaking from fear and ignorance. I can strive not to further polarize myself. Like Jonah, we can go to Nineveh. We can say what we need to say, what we're called to say, to speak from our hearts. In our UUS mission, we say that we are a force for healing in the world. And at our board retreat, one of the members said, he feels like maybe we're more like a source for healing. Come on in and get your healing, but not a force for healing. Not a force taking our message out and speaking our values in the world. As Unitarian Universalists, as people of faith, as a people committed to future generations, it's time for us to speak out. Next time you feel called to speak out, don't get on a ship going in the opposite direction. Don't go to sleep down in the hold of the ship. Let your voice be heard. Let your values be spoken. And I guarantee you, you will begin the process of changing the world. So may it be.